I promised this afternoon to read a poem about Lot's wife. It was my third try at writing a poem about Lot's wife, who absolutely fascinates me for some reason or other. She has no name, no first name. She's Mrs. Lot. She turned and looked back at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and she turned to a pillar of salt. Now, what does that mean, a pillar of salt? What does it mean? I didn't find a version of this poem that I liked at all until I put it in her voice. And I certainly did not have in mind this terribly corny pun, but it turned out that I made her a rather salty character, as you'll see in her speech. I didn't have that in mind, believe me. But I did think toward the end, she really is the salt of the earth. This kind of woman is the salt of the earth. I used for this interpretation the older interpretation of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, which was that they were destroyed because there was so much homosexuality around. And there's a later interpretation of that Bible story, which goes something like that. The reason Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed is because the inhabitants failed in keeping to the sort of Greek piety, I mean the piety which is like the Greek piety, of offering perfect hospitality to the stranger. So, I don't want to impose my interpretation on you, but that was the one that was useful for the poem. And this poem people have called my gay lib poem. This is called The Cities of the Plain. Their sex life was their own business, I thought, and took some of the pressure off women who were treated most of the time as merely a man's way of producing another man. And there were plenty of the other kind. The two older girls got married when they wanted to. The riot in front of our house that evening, when a gang of young queers, all drunk and horny, threatened to break in, yelling for the two strangers, our guests, handsome as angels, to come out and have some fun, was not intelligently handled by my husband, to say the least. An uptight man, he opened the door, he got so frightened he opened the door and offered to send out our youngest girl if they'd quiet down and leave us alone. Two little virgins, he told them. Now, fellows, wouldn't that be nicer and more fun? That made them wild, and they would have dragged him out and mounted him in the street if our guests hadn't managed to get the door shut. The two strangers, it turned out, were inspectors. Don't ask me why, for the sake of a perfect idea of love or of human community, all the innocent-eyed babies and beasts and birds, all growth, both food and flower, two whole cities, their fabulous bouquets of persons, frivolous, severe, rollicking, wry, witty, plain, lusty, provident, every single miracle of life on the whole plain should be exploded to ashes. I looked back, and that's what I saw. Nobody knows my name. My husband and our two adolescents kept their faces turned to the future, fled to the future. Sarah, everyone knows, whose life past menopause into the withered 90s was one long obsessed attempt to get pregnant, to establish the future. As for me, I lost all sense of human possibility when the cloud rose up like a blossom over all that death. I stood for nameless women whose sense of loss is not statistical, stood for a while, then vanished. Men are always being turned to stone by something and loom through the ages in some stony sense of things they were shocked into. I was not easily shocked, but that punishment was blasphemous. Impiety to the world as it is, things as they are. I turn to pure mourning, which ends the personal life, then quietly comes to its own end. Each time the clouds came and it rained, salt tears poured from my whole being. And when that testimony was over, grass began to grow on the plains.